Last week, Pastor covered the tabernacle, where we talk about the place of worship, right? Today, we are going to talk about how to worship, amen? We're going to start the book of Leviticus. Are we ready? Amen. You see, the story of Leviticus pick up where Exodus left off. You know, the people of Israel were still camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. They remained at Sinai throughout the time period covered by the book of Leviticus. See, the people had just finished building the tabernacle. And when God commanded Moses to build a tabernacle in the camp of the Israelites, he stated its purpose very clear. What is his purpose? You know, that then, Exodus 25 verse 8 say that, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. In Leviticus, we see a holy God making a way for his people to return to him. Despite their tendency of choosing corruption and human wisdom over the ways of God, God set up a pattern of sacrifice and atonement so that his covenant people might enjoy his fellowship through worship. So we're going to take a closer look at the book of Leviticus and today the five offering. There is a key word in this book, a word that used over and over. So that clarify actually the whole meaning of Leviticus. It is the word sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. It's mentioned how many times? 300 times in 27 chapters, which just means that it is a whole lot of sacrifice to God, right? So when the Jews heard the word sacrifice, that is equivalent to us saying worship. Are you listening? You see, Leviticus was the book of worship. It was so special to the people of God. It taught them how to get closer to God. It taught them how they were to worship God and draw their hearts near to Him. When we come to the book of Leviticus, you know, when we read the Bible, when we come to the book of Leviticus, many times we skip it because we say that it's strange, it's irrelevant to us. The reason is that God was giving rules and regulations to the Israelites who live in a very different culture and times as us. But is it not important? It is very important. That's what I want to achieve today. To share with you, very important about the offering. So let me give you an example of what I mean. You know, let's say someone from another country come to Singapore to learn how Singapore handles the pandemic. Let's say this person come from Kazakhstan. You know, Kazakhstan official came to learn from Singapore. It's true, it's in the news. They came to learn to Singapore. And when they listen to us, it may sound a bit strange to them because they live in a different culture with wide open space. They have lots of land, you know, wide open space. And here we emphasize social distancing, like stay away from people. But to them, everyone is a mouse from everybody, you know, it's so far. You know, they have... And then we have rules like we have to behave in the supermarket, but they don't shop in supermarket, right? They go to wide open field market. And somehow, you know, it's wide, it's big. And then you see that it's not very close to one another. And we talk about school e-learning, which they don't have. Do you know that the Kazakh official came here not to learn the method we did, but to learn the principles? To learn the principles of crisis management. So that's what we're going to learn today, the principles. Amen? So we read the book of Leviticus, study the book of Leviticus. I hope that you will learn a lot of very useful principles, especially the type of Christ in the book of Leviticus and how we should conduct ourselves while in a covenant relationship with a holy God. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing the truth that all scripture is given by inspiration. As we begin to study through the sacrifice of the book of Leviticus, we ask that you open our eyes this morning to behold the wondrous truth of your word. These things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. First, the burnt offering. The burnt offering. Now, the first three offering, before I start, let me share with you all this, something very important. The first three offering are so-called the sweet, savory offering. From chapter 1 to 3, and they were voluntary. Right? They were meant to be done from a person's own free will. And that is the reason why it's so sweet and savory smelling to God. Because it's not a have to, the person doing it. Those sweet offering, it was just a person simply wanting to draw closer to God on their own free will. And so they were very devotional in nature. So as we go along, I want to highlight some of the important steps in each of the offering. I don't have time to explain every single action in each offering. If we're going to do that, we're going to stay until dinner time, right? So let me just bring your attention to some of the rules and regulation in this fire offering and how can we live out this principle. So Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Turn to your Bible. I need you to have your Bible beside you because we're going to underline and we're going to read through and go back to the scripture very often. Right, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. When anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from neither the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. A male without. So, notice the first thing. Not only were you to take out from your own herd, but you had to take the very best of your herb, the male without defect, the very best. You know, in ancient time, talking about animals and grain was equivalent to the modern man discussing dollars and cents. When an ancient man burned up the best bull in the herb, it was like a man today taking $1,000 of his income, pour it in $20 notes on top of the grill and light it on fire. How will you feel as you watch the smoke and ashes of the hard-earned money rise up to the sky? That's the point. Are you listening? When God asked for sacrifice, he was asking for his people to bring the best. Say the best. Of what they earn, not their leftovers. And it burned up as a demonstration of faith and devotion to God as their provider. And as for God's part, you see, he gave us his very best. Amen. God has given us his very best. He gave us his son. Jesus was the male without defect. He was the very best of the herd of humanity, having no sin, being offered up for us. So God only asks you to do something that he has already done for us. We only love him because he first loved us. Amen. We only sacrifice to him because he first sacrificed to us. You know, it's also said that it is to be offered on his own free will. When you think about Jesus, he wasn't forced to go to the cross. He made his own choice to offer himself to us. So if you want the best picture of what the whole burnt offering looks like, you need to see it in Christ that night before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the scene? Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. At that point of time, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will." You know, at the moment, he was sweating drops of blood, knowing what he's going to go through. So when he said that, "Not my will, but I'm surrendering to you, Father," At that very moment of surrender began the process of him becoming the offering for our sin. So before he outwardly offered his body on the cross, there was an inward surrender. Everybody say inward surrender. Heart offering of surrender to the Father. See, the burnt offering of Leviticus chapter 1 is all about inward surrender. Our inward surrender to God. So when you face with your own Gethsemane moments, when you say to God, God, it hurts. But at the moment, as tears welled up in your eyes and you say, but I'm going to surrender to your will, God, because you are God and I trust you no matter what. Amen? Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord. And then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. At the altar, bring your focus to the altar. Altar is another big word found in Leviticus. Altar in Hebrew word means place of slaughter. Are you listening? Place of slaughter. The Garden of Gethsemane was a place of slaughter. The ultimate altar is found at the cross. And what appears to be an ugly, bloody, gross thing become a very beautiful thing, because there will be no resurrection without the brutality of the cross. Amen? So God brings beauty out of something ugly. Amen? Church, whenever you're broken and come before God in repentance, you have just make an altar. You have just make an altar at that point of time. At the moment, you make an altar because your old self and your old will is being slaughtered. At the moment, you say, I'm done. I'm over myself. And that's when you're setting up a real altar before God. As you let your old person, the old identity be slaughtered at the cross of Christ, a resurrected Christ come unto you and make you a new person. So do you remember that moment? Some of us in our journey of faith where you were finally willing to let yourself be put to death so that Christ could live. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So it's like whenever my heart is saying, Andy, you're going to decrease because you are a selfish person. Today you have to die. Be slaughtered so that Christ can increase. You know when that happened? More of God comes and His grace enter. That's when I become a beautiful, savory burnt offering to the Lord. Amen? How many of you here play game? We all play game, right? Some form of games. Board game. You know, card games. Nothing wrong with games. But online game, very addictive, right? Because it's designed this way. The more time you put into the game, the more points you get. The more powerful your character become. That is designer. The game designer will keep you wanting to come back, because the more you come back, you can gain more. And you become even better in the game in doing this. That's why it's so addictive. Because online game is designed this way. Many years ago, a friend of mine shared with me this online game. You know, it's so fun. It's a strategy game. I love strategy game. You know, and I keep playing. I reach certain high level. And you know, the why it's so addictive is come to the point, you know, that every day I will go back to the game and just spend some time on the game, because it stays in my mind. I keep thinking about the game. How am I going to beat this character? How am I going to do this? How am I going to reach higher points? And I know I need, when I go back, every time I lock in again, I got more points. I got more things, you know, that I can beat and go to the next level. So I realized that, wow, it's so fun. It's so addictive. And one day during worship, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. He spoke to me and tell me, you know, what the Holy Spirit said, Andy, what do you gain from playing this game? What do you gain from playing this game? What value do you gain from playing this game? You know, I can use my time more effectively, more efficiently for God, but I'm not spending a lot of time, like five, 6 hours a day, but there's time is used to play this game. So I decided to stop it. You know, the Holy Spirit convict me. I decided to bring to the altar at the moment and slaughter it. So how do I do that? I bring it before the Lord. Stop. I decided that at the moment, I delete the game. To those who are playing online game, I know it's a very hard thing to do, right? You spend so much time playing it. At the moment when you press the delete button, everything is gone. All your accumulated points, your character that you have spent so much time building to the level is all gone. But I do it not because I have to, because I want to. Amen? Amen. And I bring that addiction, desire to aim before God and slaughter it on the altar. I'm speaking to many youth today. You know, some of you are playing games that have, you spend so much time on it, that is affecting your life, affecting your studies, affecting your relationship with your family, with your friends. You're locked into yourself playing the game. I'm speaking to you today. Will you bring it for the altar and slaughter it? And slaughter it. Amen? Leviticus chapter 1 verse 9. Is it amen or oh man? Amen. No, not oh man, right? Because you want to do it, not because you have to, because I want it. Amen? You want it. You want to bring a sweet slavery of offering before the Lord. Bring it before the altar. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 9. Then Aaron, son of the priest, shall arrange the pieces, including the hurt and the fat, on the wood and that is burning on the altar. And the priest is to burn all of it, say all of it, on the altar. And then God tells that all the parts of the animal need to be placed on the altar. All. Say all. It is very significant. Why? Because the other offering in Leviticus don't require the whole animal to be sacrificed on the fire. In other offering, certain portion of the meat was given to the offerer and to the priest to enjoy. But this offering, the burnt offering, none of it was for man. Why? Because this offering signified a true heart of worship was to be fully given and to be offered to God alone. It's a picture of a complete inward surrender. You offer the whole thing. Hold nothing back. You hold nothing back. I know there has been time in your life, plenty of times in our life, where we are giving certain parts of our life to God, but we are withholding other areas in our life to God. Thinking that it was okay. Thinking it's alright with Him. Thinking that we can manage certain parts and certain portion of your life. Thinking that we can sweep certain issue underneath the rug in our heart. You say, God, I give you 80%, cannot. 20%, I think I will keep it. You don't disturb me, I don't disturb you. Church, no. You need to surrender all to God. You need to burn all of it on the altar. If you continue to rebel and not give the things to God, you know, it's like what? It's like a piece of meat rotting out for months in the open sunshine. It becomes a stain to God. Are you listening? Get up, put the air in the altar, and it's all good. If this speaks to you today, you need to surrender it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to you many things in our life that we need to surrender it all. Let Him change around the situation, the issues and priorities of your life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I want to bring to you another important principle that is found in Psalms 96 verse 8 and 9. Turn to the Psalms. Maybe you can just look at the screen. Psalms 96 verse 8 and 9. It says, bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. You see, the idea here is that don't come unless you have an offering. Don't come unless you have an offering. A Jew never, never, ever approached the house of God unless they had something to offer to God. And this speaks to you and me. Why are we here in church today? Do we come just to get something? Or do you come to give something? You see, that will change your whole outlook on church. Yes, we come to receive the word of God. Yes, I know. We come to receive the fellowship. We and your kids receive ministry. That's fine. But don't just come to receive, because that is in danger of becoming a consumer Christian. What have you come to give God that is pleasing to Him? You know, I'm not talking about serving here. I'm talking about inward surrender. I'm talking about what are you going to bring to God this morning to surrender to Him. Yeah? Think about it, church. In chapter 1, the first thing God wants to communicate in Leviticus is this. Remember, the whole animal was burned on the altar. None of that was of the meat was for man. It was all for God. It's a picture of inward surrender. And it can be found in the words, sometimes with tears in your eyes. Not my will, Father, Lord, but your will be done. It's a whole burnt offering. That is the burnt offering. Chapter 2, grain and meal offering. The second offering, the grain offering, was the only Leviticus offering which is not a blood sacrifice. It is brought to show one homage and thanksgiving to God's provision. All right, turn to Leviticus chapter 2. It deals with the external offering of ourselves to God. Outwardly, it points to service and good works. Ultimately, if the burnt offering represents how Jesus surrendered His will in the garden, then the grain offering typifies the actual offering of His body on the cross. So I want you to know there is a progression of thoughts from chapter 1 to chapter 2 that is not separated, right? One after another. In other words, surrender to God always results in an outward service to God. Amen? Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be the finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it. The first ingredient here, flour. Many of us here in our culture, we call it what? Flour, right? Maybe I use flour. If not, you'll keep thinking about flour. Right, flour, right? In ancient time, to make fine flour, you have to grill the grind by the hands on a grinding stone, which at best only produced very coarse flour. Not fine flour, very coarse flour. So this offering require what kind of flour? Fine flour. And there was no machine during the time to get the flour. So to where it was just to where it started powdery, right? So you don't just get fine flour from just 1 hour worth of work. Let me share with you, to get fine flour, it took an extremely amount of hard work and probably a whole day of work to get this fine flour. You have to keep beating it and keep grinding it, and at the end of the day, whoa, your hand and it will be completely wiped out and exhausted. You're just exhausted after getting fine flour. And remember, church, this was a voluntary offering. You don't have to do it, but God is communicating. If you're doing it, give me your best. Don't sign on and do something half-hearted effort. If you're going to do it, I want your best. Amen. The next detail is that you have to pour olive oil on it. Olive oil. You know, olive oil are very expensive, very costly in those days. And oil is used as a symbol of the, anybody know? Holy Spirit. Over and over again in the Bible, it's about referring to the Holy Spirit. So we have this picture of fine flour and the oil being mixed together. It is a good reminder to all of us that no matter how much time and effort we put into, maybe even in ministry, we can do nothing of eternal value without involvement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to partner with the Holy Spirit. And there are many people you come in contact with that have not heard the gospel. Church, I want you to know that you are anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel to them. You are anointed with words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You are anointed by the Spirit of God to do so. Amen. There is one more thing mentioned in verse 1. To make this offering, you have to add what? Frankincense to it. Frankincense was an incense made from frankincense trees. And the process of to getting the fragrance snap was a laborious task. Right? That's why you make it very scarce and expensive. Very expensive. So you will burn it. The point to the attractiveness of when someone serving God through the power of the Spirit. And every act of our life should produce sweet fragrance towards God. Amen. So in grain offering, it represents Jesus' perfect humility without sin. Anointed with the Holy Spirit, in his earthly life, his service brings about a sweet fragrance to the Father. Giving a grain offering in those circumstances represents the Israelite complete dependence on God to provide for their needs each day. And Jesus fulfilled the law and we are no longer have to sacrifice as they did in the Old Testament. But if the grain offering is similar to our offering of worship, it's interesting to consider, church. My question is, how much does our offering today cost us? Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Season your grain offering with salt. This salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offering. Add salt to all your offering. The next thing, talk about season with salt. Now, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he said that you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is that good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot before men. You know, I understand, you know, we understand from these words that Jesus is talking about being a witness, a light to non-believer. So if you are going to offer our life for God's kingdom and for the gospel, then we need to be the salt. Say salt. Be a salty Christian in your life, in your marriage, this church, we are to be like salt. So two things I want to bring about being a salty Christian. How does it look like? Number one, salt is preservative. It's a preservative during Christ's time. Salt was used to kill bacteria and delay spoilage. And that's a very powerful picture salty Christian have. You know, as salty Christian, we are to preserve the influence on this world. We as a church have the duty preserving morality. Amen? Preserving God's design that a man and woman get married. Preserving family identity of taking care of your kids, leading them to godliness. Salt is a preservative. The second thing, salt makes people thirsty. Is it salty Christian make people thirsty for who? For Jesus, amen. What do we do? What do we have? We have this living water that is flowing out through us. Many people are searching all over the place, the world, because they are empty. They are looking for a lot of different things to fill the empty heart in them. And in the midst of searching, they are left empty and dehydrated even more. Until they come to Jesus. Until they come to Jesus, the creator of our body and soul. Church, only Jesus knows how to fill us and give us what we need. And now, church, we are to go to season people with salt. In this offering, as we acknowledge God's provision, we reciprocate our gratitude of emphasizing the need to dedicate ourselves to the work of God because Jesus first offered himself for us. Today, our gift of time and service to the church is a tangible way It's a way in which we can enact the eternal binding principle seen in the grain offering. When I was 18 years old, I'm about to be enlisted to NS. Oh, praise the Lord for that. You know, I told the Lord that I do not want to waste my time and in the army, 2 years in the army. I want to do something for God. I want to give my service to God to be used by Him in NS. I don't just want to serve the nation. I want to serve God. So I told the Lord, Lord, use me. All right. So after BMT, I was posted to an infantry unit at Selarang Camp. It was a culture shock to me. You know, 90% of the company platoon men are what we call, you know, Hokkien Pin, you know. They are dropped off from secondary school. Many have criminal records. Some of them, you know, ever joined gang. You know, we talk about having tattoo on the body. They have tattoo to the brim. You know, the whole body, and they were sharing with me because of the relationship. You know, this tattoo is talking about what? You know, because of the certain identity that you have with some secret society. You know, they 90% of them are all smoker. And when they speak, their speech will end with vulgarity, seasoned with vulgarity, you know, and it's a culture shock to me. So those who serve in NS, you know, your weekend is very precious, right? And you want to relax and enjoy the weekend because Monday to Friday, you'll be out in the field running, you know, and doing your field work. And the eight of us in the bunk, I remember every weekend, we would come back after our weekend. In the bunk, they will be sharing what they do over the weekend. And my bunk, you know, they like to party. They will go over the weekend, they will be partying overnight to late night. And they will be sharing about the party that they go to, how drunk they are, you know, the girls that they meet. They will be sharing, so exciting. You know, they will be sharing. I didn't really listen, I was saying this. Then they call me, you know, and then ask me, Andy, what do you do over the weekend? So I told them, I actually, after book out on Saturday, I head to Bedok North Secondary School to serve the Boys Brigade. And then afternoon, I will be attending my cell group. Then after that, I will be in church on Sunday morning. After that, I will head home, prepare myself, rest, and book in. They look at me like this weird guy. You don't go party? You know, it's so boring your weekend. You know, in my heart, to them it's boring, but in my heart, it's a joy to be able to serve the Lord in the church. Amen? To be in the church. Then book out time on weekend, even though it's very precious. But I want to bring an offering to the Lord to dedicate to the Lord to continue to serve in the ministry. By the grace of God, after my bunkmate know that I'm a Christian, the Lord opened many doors for me to minister to them. They respected me as a Christian. We built relationship over the months. We are so close. You know, we are in HQ bunk. That means our bunk have some privilege. And one of the things our bunkmate will bring is a big hi-fi set into the bunk. And then, you know what they do? They will play music. Because they enjoy music, they always go party. What kind of music? Techno music! All the time at night after our mission, they will be playing techno music. You know, and they will blast for a few hours in the bunk. Wow. You know, at certain timing at night, it's my time where I will read the Bible. You know, they will say, hey, Andy is going to read the Bible. They will turn it off. They will turn and hallelujah. No, just kidding. That's exaggerating. But they will turn it off because they don't want me to be reading the Bible with background music, techno. Don't know what will happen, you know, when read the Bible with techno music. Read the Bible with techno music. So they're very kind. They will turn it off, not disturb me. That is very kind of them. And because of that relationship I built with them, and over the 2 years with them, there was a time where they needed someone to talk to because of some trouble they are in. And I will always lend my listening ear to them and help them, pray with them and bless them. There were times where there was opportunity, I asked the Holy Spirit to help me to step up, to share the gospel to some of them. It was a great joy to be able to reach some of my army mates. You know, two of my bunk mate trusted the Lord because of the seed that's being sown. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And those who are in the army, I want you to know that you can be a blessing to many. You are anointed to do that. Praise the Lord. So if burnt offering is a picture of inward surrender, when you yield completely to the will of God, then the grain offering is about service, it's about our productivity, the work of our hands, because inward surrender to God will always result in an outward service for God today. Amen? Number three, peace offering. Let's look at the peace offering. Or another, in NIV, it says the fellowship offering. Peace offering is not difficult to understand. It deals with having peace. It's exactly what it says. The peace is pictured so well in the offering. When we talk about peace, the truth is that you can't have real peace without God in the picture. Please remember this: by nature, we are separated from God and His peace. The Bible tells us that we are in rebellion against God. Before Christ, we were His enemy. And so, before anyone can experience His peace, they first have to make peace with God. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 2. You are to lay your hand on the head of your offering, slaughter at the entrance to the tent of meeting. I will bring your attention to the laying of hands on the animal. In this offering, a blood sacrifice must be made. And when the person come and bring this animal, it wasn't just drop it off before the priest and walk away. Are you listening? The person had to lay their hand on the head of the animal that was about to be sacrificed. Oh, that changes everything. Because as you do it, it's about identifying yourself personally with the animal that is about to die. When you lay your hand on the head of the one being offered for you, the sacrifice now has become your substitute. There is an identity transfer that has taken place that God is acknowledging. Think about what would this do to that person that bring the offering. I mean, you have to look at the animal in the eye. It means that you are right there with the animal was being slaughtered. You saw the blood spill. You smell with your own nose. You hear the groaning with your own ear. And you did this, you will understand deep inside your heart an innocent life have just been killed and sacrificed in order for me to live and to be right with God and to have peace. There is something very powerful. There is something very powerful about laying your hands on the head of your sacrifice. You see, the cross, church, is not something for us to just look at from a distance and say, and just admire and say, I appreciate you, Jesus. And that's cool. What you did for me and all that you say, thank you, Jesus, from a distance. No. You need to lay your hands on the head as He was being flogged. Have you journeyed with Him? Have you laid your hand on the head as He was moaning on the cross? Have you looked into the eye of Jesus when He was hanging there and realized that it should be you? It should be you. It's very personal. It's very important to God, because by laying your hands on the head of an innocent person that is dying in your place, God is teaching us He wants us to be up and close and personal with our substitute. Next, the animal should be killed at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Why the door? Who will want this bloody carcass right at the front porch? Remember, the tabernacle was a picture of heaven. The tabernacle represents heaven, and there is a front door to get in. So no wonder Jesus said that I'm the door. Amen. No wonder the animal, the substitute, had to be sacrificed and the blood was shed right at the door, because Jesus on the cross is your door to heaven. There is no other way. There is no other door to pass through into heaven. There is no other way. Are you seeing it? You know, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one goes to the Father except through me, it says that there's only one way, one door, no other way. No other way. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. On the fellowship, you are to bring a food offering to the Lord, the internal organ and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with fat and on them near the loin, and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. What does it say? Give God the fatty portion. You see, fat and edible organ meats are the most calorie dense and the most richly flavored part of just about any human consume. They are the best part, right or not? The fat. I know it's unhealthy. You know, they are difficult to remove during the butchering process. But this is reserved for God's portion. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 16. The priest shall burn them on the altar as food offering, a pleasing aroma. All the fats is the Lord's. All the fats is the Lord. You know, I saw an article. It was a list of kids respond to the question, what is love? What is love? On the list of the answer, one of the children has written, love is when mommy saved the best piece of chicken for daddy. Praise the Lord. Right? And that's what we are talking here. We are looking here. Leaving the best part for the Lord. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15. And I want to bring you to also verse 34. The meat of their fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning. Verse 34, from the fellowship offering of the Israelite, I have taken the breast that is waved and the thigh that is presented, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and his son as their perpetual share for the Israelites. Now the sacrifice was shared by the priest and the offerer. Unlike the burnt offering where the entire animal were to bring to be burned on the altar. On this offering, most of the animal was given to the people for eating because that shows God's provision and blessing. And it's showing relationship that you know to be able to sit at the table of the Lord and make peace with Him. Amen. When you read about peace offering, remember it's about fellowship with the Lord. It's about giving thanks and consciously spending time in His presence. The peace offering is about going to God, recognizing the bounty that He has given us, thanking Him for it, and enjoying His company. The next, sin offering. The next two offerings are different from the previous three. They are mandatory. Are you listening? God specifically demands that this offering must be performed because they deal with a person's sin. God required that person who had sinned to sacrifice as an act of repentance. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 2. When anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, here, the unintentional sin means missing the mark, and there are two categories of motive mentioned here. First, committing sin without realizing it. Second, committing a sin out of weakness or negligence as opposed to an outright rebellion against God. Unintentional sins are acts committed by a person when at that time, he did not suppose that what he did was sin. Although he did the thing deliberately, yet he did not perceive the sin of it. The contrast to an unintentional sin is to sin what? Presumptuously. And let me tell you, church, there is no atonement available for the one whose heart was so defiantly against the Lord in presumptuous sin. For ancient Jews, a violation of God's law committed even in ignorance was taken very seriously. So God gave different instruction for different people for atonement for their sin. What are some of the instructions? Like this, offer a young bull without defect as a sin offering. The offerer must lay hands on the bull and kill it. The priest to bring blood into the tabernacle and sprinkle the blood. The entire the animal body to be burned outside the camp. And these are to be done whenever the high priest or the congregation or commoner need to atone for the sin committed in ignorance. Sin not only anger God, it also make the sanctuary unclean. A holy God cannot dwell amidst uncleanness. Because God is a holy God. Amen. The sin offering, also known as a purification offering, purify the place of worship so that God may be present among his people. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 3. First, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. Offering the young bull without defect is the most expensive kind of the bull. It just speaks of the worth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died at the age of 33, young and sinless. Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 4, chapter 4 verse 4. So what did he need to do? He need to lay his hand on the head, slaughter it before the Lord. Now, I've explained earlier the laying of hands, what is signified. But I want to share with you here again, you know, when you lay your hand on the bull being sacrificed and look in the eye, you are right there up and personal with your sacrifice. It was bleeding and mourning. By laying your hands on the head, it means you identify, your identity transfer was taking place. The animal now representing you. And that's what we do with Jesus Christ. He chose to identify with us. Amen. Lord Jesus became a human who can bleed, had to sleep and eat food. Jesus said, you know what? I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to repent of anything I've done. But I'm going to stand in the same exact spot as you because I'm willing to identify with you. Praise the Lord for that. And he carried that through as he went to the cross, identifying with all of our sin. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Then the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tents of meeting. Listen, he is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord in the front of the curtain of the sanctuary. What does sprinkling of the blood signify? That is the best part. Let me share with you. You see, the priest has to take some of the blood and bring into the tabernacle. Remember, a common person cannot enter the tabernacle. Only the priest is allowed to inside, which means only priests can could do this act before the Lord. We all know that. So it speaks only about Jesus as the anointed priest can only make an offering for sin that was going to be acceptable to the Father. Jesus shed his blood. But because he's also the anointed priest, he then take his own blood and present it before God inside the tabernacle. You see, Leviticus 4 is a picture of what Jesus was doing on the cross. After he died, when he appeared before the Father in heaven, presenting you and me, Jesus is offering his own sinless blood on our behalf. He presents his blood and say, look, Father, I'm presenting this blood before you. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Very important. When Jesus came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hand. That is to say, it is not a part of his creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. By what? By his own blood. Thus obtaining eternal redemption. Here, there is an interesting question. What is the big deal with blood anyway? Why does blood give us eternal life? Are you listening, church? You know, we sing the song, What can wash away my sin? Indeed, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need Christ's blood. Why can't I just have His love? Why can't I just know that He loves me and He can get me there through love? Can ye? Can't. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Look at this verse. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. And it says here, look, it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Only blood can make atonement for us, because it says life is in the blood. It is very simple to comprehend, church. And I'll give you a science question. Red blood cell carry what to your body? Very good, oxygen. Red blood cell carry oxygen to your body. And without oxygen, you cannot live, right? We don't live without blood. If you experience blood loss, you will die. That's why we really, really have to have the blood of Christ. Are you listening? In order to get to heaven, you know, there's no way except through the blood of Christ. Because the blood gives us life. It gives us eternal life and gives us the spiritual oxygen of the Holy Spirit we need to live eternally. Praise the Lord. Amen. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 12. The rest of the bull he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially clean where the ashes are thrown and burn it there in a wood fire on the ash heap. It says there here that the rest parts of the human animals has to carry out of the camp to be burned. You know, the major difference between the sweet savory offering and the non-sweet offering is the bull's body was to burn out where? Inside the camp, right? Was to burn inside there. But here is to take the bull outside the camp. Where? Outside. In the sin offering, we have to bring the bull outside the camp. Is this idea that outside the camp is where you bury your trash? You're wasting your feces. You don't keep the stuff inside the camp. You go out and dig a hole and bury it there. So taking the offering outside the camp adds to our understanding how gross, are you listening? How gross and offensive sin is to God. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12 said that, and so Jesus also sacrificed, suffered outside the city gate and make the people holy through his own blood. The sin offering done by the Israelite were not permanent. They have to keep doing it. But the sin offering done by Jesus Christ is permanent and once and for all. Amen? Lastly, very important, the guilt offering. The guilt offering is Leviticus 5, focus of another aspect of sin effects. The need for payment. This offering is sometimes referred as to the reparation offering. Reparation offering. Because it highlights the need for payment when wrong has been done. Forgiveness was dependent upon the worshipper making amends. And the sacrifice animal was viewed as restitution. The idea is that not just enough to be forgiven. We need to make things right. Are you listening? It's not just enough to be forgiven. We need to make things right. While every offering in Israel's sacrificial system has its place. You see, this guilt offering has a unique characteristic that is particularly relevant to the world of work. In our work, in our outside dealing, when a person misled another in regards to a deposit or pledge, commit robbery or fraud, lie about lost property that was found, or sworn falsely about matter. You see, what does God require? God requires an offering, remorse from the sin in the basis of the guilt offering. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. When the sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt, they must return what they have stolen or taken by extortion. What must they do? Return and taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to them, or the lost property they found. When whatever it was that sworn falsely about, they must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day they present their guilt offering. Remorseful sinners were required to do what here in this verse tells us? To require to return the wrongfully taken goods plus how many percent? 20% as part of the guilt offering. A sinner must only receive forgiveness from God after they settle the matter on a personal level with the priest. Church, it's a very powerful reminder for us that God's right to forgiveness does not avoid the pain we cause to our brothers. Let me say that again. That God's right to forgiveness does not avoid the pain we cause to our brothers. The primary purpose of this, of the trespass and guilt offering, is to mean reparation, violation against God, even if they are unintentional against fellow men. A grave offense to God. The trespass must be atoned for and man must be made whole. In the New Testament, Zacchaeus is a very good example. Remember Zacchaeus' story? Pay by what he has done, defrauded fourfold. Luke chapter 19 verse 8 tell us, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the Lord. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I must pay back four times the amount. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 to 24, Jesus said, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to reconcile to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. This is a very important verse, church. It revives everything. Before you come and offer any gift, you need to settle the things outside with your brother first. You need to reconcile with your brother first before you come and offer your gifts. You need to settle everything first. You know, I'm speaking to many of us here. Maybe there are something in our heart that we have anger against someone, we have wronged someone, we have vicarious anger towards someone, or whatever, you know, we have done wrong. We need to settle it. You know, sometimes we think that it's between me and God. That's it. Done. No. God, in this verse, tell us, Jesus say, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. We need to settle with our brother. We need to seek reconciliation. We need to seek for forgiveness and deal with it. Sin offer create rift between our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as a Christian, we are called to make peace with one another and restore which was broken and lost. The debt we owe to God and those we have sinned against is greater than we can bear. That's why God sent His Son, not just to be our perfect burn and sin offering, also our perfect guilt offering. Jesus paid our debt, and now we must forgive as we have been forgiven. How do we apply this principle in our covenant relationship with the Holy God? Now we're going to conclude the fire offering. And now I want to ask, how then can I apply this principle? Number one, approach a holy God more reverently. The book of Leviticus should cause us to approach God more reverently. By now, you already know that the holiness of God is one of the clearest and the most important theme in this book. God is the apex of holiness. Are you listening? He's holy. He's in a class by all himself. The concept of God holiness shapes everything we read in Leviticus. And God wants to teach his people that there is a distinction between him and everything else. This is why God established certain boundaries and distinction in the Israelites community. Now, what is the point of all this? The point is very clear, church. We have to approach God on his term, not on our own term. Are you listening? Because God is a holy God. You and I cannot approach God however we want or however it makes sense to us. We only can approach God on his term. We have to recognize the unlimited difference and distance between us and the Almighty God. He is our creator. He is our master. He is our Lord. He is our creator. We belong to him. And this should impact everything. It should impact how we worship on Sunday. You know, for one thing, when we gather, we should make sure that we are prioritizing the things God commanded for us in the New Testament worship. Like praying, like worshiping, teaching. If we are not careful, we can prioritize all other optional things that make worship more appealing and more comfortable to us. It becomes an entertainment and not worship. Lights, LED are great. We use them. But we need to be careful what is optional to the point that we begin to neglect what is more essential, that we are here to worship God. You know, today there are many worship songs that when we listen, there are problems. Why? Because worship is meant to be for God, not for us. Right? There are many worship songs today that glorify our problem. So many worship songs that speak about our situation, our problem. So are we worshiping the problem or are we worshiping God? I think we need to worship song that glorify God. Glorify his name and his existence, because that is what worship is about. Amen? This doesn't just affect various aspects of our worship. It should also affect our attitude when we gather for worship in the presence of the mighty God. Do we actually recognize who is watching us? Do we actually recognize who we talk to when we pray and when we choose to obey or disobey? Do we recognize when we come through this door to worship this God who deserves all our worship and all our reverence? Church, we need to approach God with more reverence. Reverent. Take sin more seriously. The book of Leviticus could cause us to take sin more seriously. The Bible is clear that sin is when we fail or refuse to obey God's commandment. Sin is always primarily an offense against God, rebellious against his leadership and his rejection for his love. Sin separates us. Every single time we sin is an absolute offense to a holy God. The sacrificial system in Leviticus was a constant reminder that God takes sin seriously and my sin deserves punishment. You see, God takes sin more seriously than we possibly imagine. That's why Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. It's consistent. And when he said to Adam in the garden of, you eat from this forbidden tree, you shall surely die. You see, the culture of this world have changed. In the day of Leviticus, sin is due by death. But in today's time, we do not deal with sin like before. In some country, we don't even see careful things as sinful. So we need to be careful. You know, each of us is guilty before God, and the problem in you cannot remove your own guilt. You know, I don't care how religious you are, how good you are a person, you cannot remove your guilt before God, neither can I. The only way is through the sacrificial blood found in Jesus. Lastly, love Jesus more passionately. I want to close here. The book of Leviticus should cause us to love Jesus more passionately. There is a very simple but astounding principle that God wants to dwell with people. It should be astonishing to you. God wants to deal with you. And God wants to have a relationship with every one of us. He wants to dwell among us as a church family. God wants a relationship with his people. So he provides a way in order for the Israelites to be forgiven of their sin and to be accepted to God. They need to do two things. What is the two things? They needed a priest and they needed a sacrifice. In other words, they need someone to represent them before God. They needed a substitute to take God's punishment in their place. In Leviticus, an imperfect priest represent the people before God. And the priest still need to atone for himself. But in the gospel, Jesus is the high great priest. He is without sin. He went to the cross and present himself for us as a sacrifice on the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. In Leviticus, the blood of animal only provide temporary cleansing and atonement that lasts for 1 year. But on the cross, Jesus said 3 words. It is finished. And through Jesus, we are able to move from unclean, not suitable for God's presence, to being made holy, reserved for God's special purpose, blameless in his sight. Praise the Lord. Can I invite the worship team up? Church, you know, Jesus was willing to leave the holiest of holies, heaven, and come into this place, this unclean place we call earth, take on a human flesh and die like a criminal on the cross, like one who was unclean. He was separated, treated as he was not suitable to be in God's presence. What a great thing that the Lord has done for us. How should we respond to Jesus this morning? Can I invite all of you to stand? Church, today, I'd like everyone else us to get back to the cross. To get back to the cross as an act of appreciation. To look at Jesus in the eye. We need to identify with him and with his resurrection, because he identifies with our sinfulness. That is a major identity transfer that is taking place. And his identity of perfection has become our identity. We are perfect before the Father. So let's worship him. Let's offer ourselves to him, because if we get into worship and we are focusing on God, we are just offering ourselves to him. Collectively, every one of us in this church is going to be a sweet aroma to him. It's going to be a pleasing thing coming up to heaven. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you through your Son.
He has offered his body up as a sacrifice in my place. He shed his precious blood to make us right with God. We confess that being sacrificed is not an altogether appealing idea to us. We live our life, our desire, our task, our opinion. We are reluctant to be part with them. But Jesus, you are willing and completely surrender to your Father's will. So Lord, today we offer your body. We offer ourselves to you. We thank you that you offer your body for us. Please bring about a conviction in our hearts this morning. Let us not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, Lord, which is doomed to pass away, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us to put the parts of us that are disconnected with your will on the altar this morning. Help us to put all of us on your altar as a living sacrifice, set apart, pleasing and useful to you. We will begin to approach your throne of grace with great reverence and surrender ourselves more fully to you. As we make this commitment as a church, with all our heart, we will give you our bodies, our emotion, our spirit, and everything else that we have. We want to live for you and serve you for the rest of our life. To yield to you completely, Lord. When you speak, we will do exactly what you call us. Keep our mind always in tune to you. Where to walk, when to sleep, when to eat, when to sleep, when to rest. Everything, Lord, we surrender to you. All we give to you today. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give glory to God. Hallelujah.